This episode of WW Today Presents Listener Questions with Lynn is brought to you by a few people this time. Off to Neverland Travel, as usual, our travel provider, our exclusive travel provider. Great people. You need to check them out. Go to the website. It's gotoneverland.com. Request a quote. Find out everything that's going on. They'll plan your itineraries. They'll make sure you have a great trip, and they'll help you through each step of the planning process. That is Off to Neverland Travel. Connect with them again. gotoneverland.com. And they got those WDW Today weekend packages still available, right, Will?
Yeah, De Las Puertas.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be September 28th through October 2nd. That big event, of course, is September 29th with all your favorite bands. Great stuff. You can go find that out at dlpfest.com. But if you want to book a package, gotoneverland.com. And, of course, this wouldn't be a listener question without our new sponsor. What was once old is made new again.
Something borrowed, something blue with Touring Plans.
That's, right. That's the worst, Will. That's the worst. Touring Plans has become a sponsor once again, and they want to tell you they have a special discount code for you. It's PODPEOPLE2016. All caps, I believe. POD, P-O-D, PEOPLE, 2016. All one word. With that, you get 15% off. It expires at the end of April, so make sure you sign up. If you don't know about Touring Plans, which most of you I know who listen to this podcast do know about Touring Plans, it's a step-by-step custom guide for visiting the best Walt Disney World attractions. It helps you with the wait times, helps you with my favorite thing. I've been a subscriber legitimately for years, a paid subscriber, not a friend deal where I've got a login. I've been a paid subscriber to both Disney World, Disneyland, and Universal for many years. And of course, the best feature to me is that crowd calendar, which helps you pick what days you should travel on, especially even plan out your days while you're there. They also have those photos. You've heard Lynn talk about that. You know, the views of thousands of hotel rooms.
Is it every room? Is that what it is?
Yeah, you'll get a view from every hotel room at Disney World. That's more than 31,000 photos. And you can use that to help request your room. Touring Plans will actually do that for you. A lot of great stuff. We'll talk about Touring Plans, of course, as time goes on. But
for those of you that love Listener Questions with Lynn, the reason Touring Plans is a great thing for you is because Touring Plans is the brainchild of Lynn Testa. All his knowledge is put forward into Touring Plans. So if your question, maybe you don't feel like sending it in, or you want something a little bit quicker than waiting for a show, check out Touring Plans, because odds are that's where the answer is going to be found.
You're right. Up to date, even dining menus, whatever you need, you can find it there at touringplans.com. And as Will usually says,
all you got to do is pack.
Well, for this, all you got to do is plan. Get it? touringplans.com.
Wow.
Again, Pod People 2016, 50% off. Yay. And now, on with the show.
It's time for listener questions with Lynn.
All right, well, it's that time again. Listener questions with Lynn. Lynn, welcome back to the home country, to the motherland of WWJ.
How's it going?
Good. I'm glad to have you on. We do have a lot of questions. Like I said, we now take questions through the traditional way, questions at wdwtoday.com, but also through Facebook, through Twitter, through however you can get in touch with us, really. I'm happy to take your comments. So we have stuff from email, questions from Twitter, and questions from Facebook today, and let's get right to it. So this is from Brian Wall from Rockville, Illinois, and he said, "Hey, guys, love the show." Thank you, Brian. We're headed down to WDW first week of June. My 5-year-old daughter is a huge Frozen fan. Imagine that. I'm curious if Frozen Ever After is going to be open by then, and if so, will it fall into the first tier of Fast Passes at Epcot? And by the way, I'm Lynn's potato chip dealer.
I just had some of the potato chips that Brian sent me before the show, too, so I am
Can you elaborate a little bit on that for us that don't know about your potato chip?
Some Utz or maybe
like a mafia thing?
Some Zaps.
Hold on, let me get the bag. Hold on 1 second.
Underground potato chipman. We're going to wait here for Lynn.
Lynn's getting potato chips.
Here's what I'm going to tell you while we wait. I think it'll definitely be in the first tier.
All right, they're Mrs. Fisher's potato chips, and they come in this 1-pound bag, but they're like handmade, hand fried, and that's the beauty of them. So have you guys ever eaten the shoestring fried potatoes out of a can?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
They're chips that taste exactly like that. So if you like that flavor thing, these are glorious.
So it's just a lot of flavor.
A lot of flavor, a lot of salt, a lot of grease. I mean, everything you want in a chip.
That's I think we found our next sponsor. We need to reach out.
Mrs. Fisher's.
So Brian will send me a bag or two at a time, and they're 1 pound bags. So, I mean, that lasts almost all day.
For some reason, it sounds like you said Brian Wilson sends me a bag.
So before we answer this question, Brian, if you would email us the questions at WTW Today, we'll get you the address to send to the Nashville office some of these tips.
Yeah, we need to try it out too.
And we'll, this is basically an ad read for your chips.
Yeah, an ad rib. It's another company. All right, so let's get back to our track question. Will Frozen Ever After be open by the first week of June, or when do you think it will open?
You know, that first week of June is kind of tough because Disney, I think, just moved the opening time back to, say, quote, summer, which is technically mid-June, third week of June. My sense is it will be open by then because Epcot needs something besides Soarin' for that. I also think it'll definitely be in the first tier of Fast Passes at Epcot, so it'll be something where you pick that or Soarin' or Test Track. I would be surprised if some other shuffling of the Fast Pass tiers did not happen. Things like Mission Space might go back to being the second tier. Illuminations might go back to being a second tier if it's even a Fast Pass attraction at all.
Yeah, if we know anything from Frozen meet and greets, I don't see how they don't throw that as a top tier Fast Pass. It will be insane.
It doesn't have the capacity to be a second tier.
Yeah, I was looking at that. Is it the same capacity as Maelstrom, pretty much? Is a small boat that's going to take you through it?
I mean, it's going to be plus or minus a small percentage. I think they've added like 30 or 45 seconds of track to it. So they'll have a few more people on the ride at any given time, which would, depending on how fast the water flows, may increase capacity a bit, but nothing huge. About the same.
So the waits are going to get nuts.
So let's make a prediction. I'm going to say all summer long, 3 hour waits. Solid on that. Anybody?
Well, if you said two, I would have said, yeah, definitely. Yeah, three, it's going to depend. I mean, yeah, first couple of weeks it's open, 180-minute wait, yeah, no problem. And the character greetings, same thing, yeah.
I've got a prediction.
We see that in good.
I'm not going to ride it.
There's a 100% chance of.
When do you think they'll open Fast Passes for that? Just when they have a set date? Or?
Yeah, I mean, it'll probably open without Fast Pass first. It'll go standby, and then they'll do Fast Pass work. The big question will be whether whether Soarin' with the new film breaks the 305-minute record for longest wait time we've ever seen in Walt Disney World.
Oh, well,
I have a feeling that record, even if it breaks it soon, will be quickly broken by anything at Star Wars Land.
Yeah.
Who knows what the capacity of the Millennium Falcon is going to be, but I assume it's going to take
I know it can hold one Wookiee. It can hold
four. All right, let's move on. Who wants to take the next?
I'll take the next question. It's from Bridget Metzger in Cincinnati, Ohio. And she wants to know our thoughts on Kylo Ren replacing Darth Vader at Launch Bay. I guess this is an additional signage. From a very concerned Star Wars fan.
Or it's written, from a very concerned Star Wars fan?
Yeah, the question mark positioning on that one is less than appropriate.
I'm a huge Star Wars fan, and first I was a little adverse to this because obviously we've had the legacy of Darth Vader for so many decades, but I understand it. We've talked about it a little bit before that Kylo Ren is the new big baddie, and I understand they want to do it. I wish they would have alternated them where you could still get your picture with Vader and then you could get your picture with Kylo. And I know later questions about the new Star Wars editions. Darth Vader's not gone from the parks, but he's gone from meet and greets.
I think it's important to remember that Launch Bay is about the future of Star Wars, not just the past. So I think Kylo Ren's a natural fit there. And I'm sure the Dark Lord himself will be returning to the parks very soon.
Ozzy Osbourne?
I'd wait for that meet and greet. That'd be fantastic.
That's the lights we've been waiting for.
I think, and I think I said this in a previous episode when they announced the change. I'm kind of fine with it being Kylo Ren. I think that they're all in on the brand right now, and that's the new future of Star Wars right now, at least for the foreseeable future in these films. It's not going to be Darth Vader on the posters. So I understand it completely. I know why they're doing it. But like you guys all say, I think there's going to be opportunities for Darth Vader to reappear in the park in different places.
And we know Darth Vader's coming to Rogue One, so that's coming. What do you think, Lynn?
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I think it's they're capitalizing on the new films, and that's what the kids want. So
the question will be, and this is sort of like your kind of hypothesis before the film of how they're going to impact the attractions and how it's going to change, is that Kylo Ren, depending on what kind of thought process you had, left that mask on Starkiller Base. So in the next film, will he still have that same mask? And where are they going to have to redo that character meet and greet? Is Kylo Ren going to go through multiple mutations, if you will? And we'll see. So I think that's going to be an interesting part from a branding point of view, because Darth Vader is just so iconic. But do they switch it up and make it more of a Vader-ish feeling? And I think they're going to stick with the way it is. But there is that sort of hope of they want Darth Vader back on a poster. We know Darth Vader is going to play a huge part in Rogue One. They've kind of already leaked that. So we'll see Darth Vader return, just maybe not meet and greet just yet. So, all right, well.
Carrie is from Niceville, Florida.
Nice.
And she says, any opinions on Hilton Bonnet Creek? Is the transport to from the parks reliable? Is the dining at Bonnet Creek as good as on WDW property? We have some HH points, that's Hilton Honors points, to use and plan on doing one day at Epcot during Food and Wine, and we'll do some resort hopping as well. It's our 15th anniversary, so happy anniversary, Carrie. And we're thinking about the Yachtsman for dinner. Is this a good choice? Thanks. So there's a lot of questions in this question.
Let's just start with the opening question.
Yeah, first thing.
Hilton Bonnet Creek.
Yeah, opinions on that.
I've been there before. I've stayed there before. I've had a good experience. It's definitely an off-property experience, but it's not bad. It's obviously good views, and it's a very pretty and big resort. It's connected to the Waldorf, which I've stayed with the opening weekend because they decided the Waldorf opening weekend. They're like, it's going to be $100. And then it went crazy. So my wife and I stayed at the Waldorf the opening weekend. Beautiful resorts, cool little area. There are some negatives to it, some of the perks you don't quite get. But Lynn, you probably know a little bit more about that.
Yeah, you don't get any of the early entry. You don't get Magic Bands, obviously. You don't get Magical Express. So you will have to have a car or take the shuttle. The shuttle's okay. It runs for about an hour before to right at park close. Me personally, I would Uber there because it's a little bit more convenient. But I think the rooms are high quality. I think the price is typically 40 to 60% less than a comparable Disney Deluxe. That's a lot of food and wine beverage right there.
Yeah, definitely the price points are good. Compared to some of the other hotels around there, it's on property with being off property.
And I think when you're deciding to not stay on property, you need to have the expectations of, the reason what really separates, Walt Disney World from Disneyland is how many things there are to do on property and how immersive the experience is. And you really, it's a Hilton hotel with a few resort amenities. It's super nice.
Lazy River.
The pool has a lazy river, and it looks really pretty at night.
And I'm a connoisseur of lazy rivers, so,
I haven't stayed there, but I do know every time we've driven past it, when we're there, Logan always mentions that you had a good experience there, and you've kind of explained basically this. I've asked, how is it there? A few times we've had this conversation, you've always spoken highly of the experience when you stayed there.
Yeah, well, happy anniversary. I hope you like it. It's a it's a good resort. It's definitely, if you're budget conscious and want to be close to the parks, it's hard to beat. So definitely take a look.
So the second part of that question was about Yachtsman, right?
Yeah, this is my question. Sorry, you're stealing my question, Terry.
It's still your question. No, it's you're always so defensive about your questions.
I know, because we're so anarchic.
Anarchical?
There you go. So
that's a word.
Is Yachtsman for dinner for their 15th anniversary? What do you guys think?
It's a great idea.
I love it.
The thing that sets Yachtsman apart, let's say from Shula's or from La Cellier, is the service. A lot of those, a lot of the wait staff have been there, 15, 20 years. And they are very good at service. The stakes are comparable to anything else in the area. Prices are comparable as well. But I think the thing that sets them apart is that service. And if this is a special meal for you, you let them know that ahead of time. I think they'll treat you right.
I've never been to Yachtsman, but if you're having to pick between Shula's and something else, I'd probably go with the something else.
Why?
I'm just not a fan of Shula's.
Shula's the restaurant, really? Or Shula the man?
Well,
or the Miami Dolphins. I mean, what?
It's more bad connotations with his son being coach at University of Alabama.
Yeah, well, so if you're
that's harsh, man.
So if you have Auburn pride, and don't go to Shula's just for that.
Just because Don Shula's son, Mike Shula, was head coach during a very tumultuous time at the University of Alabama, but.
Still a Shula.
Yeah, still a head coach.
I will say something, and I'll admit this to any. Assumed it was
Mike Shula.
I thought it was the Alabama Shula.
No, it's his dad.
Okay, well, that makes me feel a little bit better, because I always wondered how he had a successful chain of restaurants. All right.
And I think Yachtsman's a fantastic fantastic special occasion option. And, you know, you can kind of have the, you know, the massive, was it like a, Lynn, was it like a 24-ounce bone-in?
Porterhouse or something like that.
Porterhouse. It's like you pretty much can be Fred Flintstone for a night.
Kill these people. That's what you're doing.
Yeah. It's for two. It's a porterhouse steak for two.
You know what I don't order?
For two.
Steak for two.
Steak for two.
I get my own steak. I might get my own steak for two and get a doggy bag.
Yeah, it's like $149, I think, but...
Dessert for two is romantic. Entree for two is just kind of gross.
Yeah, steak for two is barbaric.
Yeah, what is that? I don't understand.
Okay, well,
I mean, a caveman reference.
So Yachtsman yay, Hilton yay, both are good options. And I hope you enjoy it. Have a happy 15th anniversary. Please be careful with that steak. All right, Christy just sent in a Facebook message, and she said, this is a question for you, Lynn, because I think you're the only one who knows this. Can you make room requests on touring plans if you rented with DVC points?
Sure. Works the same as regular hotel rooms. And I've done it many times. Works fine.
What's that process like for Christy, for someone who doesn't know?
So a couple of things on touring plans. You tell us the dates that you're traveling, and then a few days before your check-in, like six or seven days before your check-in, we'll send you a little alert or reminder that says, if you haven't already told us what room you want, here's a guide to do it, and we'll guide you through all of the rooms available at your hotel. You can filter them out by room type. Once you pick one, we'll automatically send a fax to the hotel 5 days before your check-in. And the success rate for that is about 70%. So
wait a second.
70%.
You take care of this formula? This happens all like magically through the touring plan elves?
I haven't told you this story?
No, I didn't know this was a thing.
Oh, dude, so a couple of years ago, we took photos of the view you get from every room on Walt Disney World property, 30,000 photos.
I knew that much.
Yeah. And if you find a room you like, we will automatically fax Disney your request for that particular room 5 days before you check in. 70% success rate.
That's fantastic. Yeah, that you use a fax machine, which is also...
I know, yes. We actually had it, and it's so funny because every once in a while, like, the fax machines on Disney property will run out of paper and no one thinks to check it. So we'll get this note from our fax provider saying, yeah, you know, the fax didn't go through. And then we have to call or send somebody by, like All Star Sports, and say, you know, not for nothing, but could you guys just check to make sure that you have paper in your fax machine? And then they run away as fast as they can.
So you say it's 70% success rate. Do they end up canceling the reservation of the other 30%, or what happens there?
So usually it's kind of funny. It's popular enough that some rooms on touring plans are, you know, sort of get passed around. Like certain rooms at a contemporary resort are really popular with the people on the site and on the forums. And so the most common reason for you not getting the room that you want is somebody's already in the room.
Makes sense.
And yeah. And then the other, and then if that happens, there's actually a decent chance, nothing's guaranteed, a decent chance you'll actually get upgraded. So it goes like this. It's the reasons why you don't get your room is most of the time it's somebody's already there. A small percentage of the time you get upgraded. And then whatever's left is typically, you know, you booked a standard view room at All Star Sports and you're requesting an upgrade to Grand Floridian or something like that, you know, which that's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
Yeah.
All right, well, we have one more question from Facebook. So who's up next?
I'll take it.
You take it?
Christopher Shaw on Facebook asks, if you had to pick a presidential candidate now, based not on politics, but who you would most like to see in the Hall of Presidents, who would you choose?
Larry David.
Bernie Sanders. Yeah. Let's all just be really honest. Come on now. There's a little bit of every Disney fan, I don't care who you are, that kind of thinks at Donald Trump animatronic, the fact that they'll have to do it is almost worth it happening.
Probably one of the best concepts ever.
I was like how would that speech go? Because you remember 60 Minutes did the thing where they covered Barack Obama doing his Disney speech, right? What would the Trump speech?
I feel like they would bring in the writers from The Swedish Chef to be a part of this writing process.
Well, what I think is interesting is that, you know, I was talking. We brought this up the other day because, you know, they've only had the president speaking since Clinton, the current president. It's usually just like, all right, Bill Clinton or whoever it would be before, George H.W. Bush, and moving on. So the question is, if Donald Trump happens, does Disney pull a fast one and go, yeah, we're going back to the old show?
Yeah.
exactly.
But that's a funny question. Weirdly enough, look, this is just some inside knowledge of what we did here. We have some connections in the political realm. We reached out to all the candidates to actually come on our podcast and tell us why they believe they deserve to be in the Hall of Presidents. And we got some responses, and it didn't end up happening. Some passes, some maybes, and some would have happened if they hadn't dropped out of the race.
Yeah, we had a firm yes that...
I think we can say who.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a firm yes from Jeb Bush.
We had a firm yes from Jeb Bush.
Yeah.
We had, I'm not going to give the others that, we had one that said yes and then changed their mind. Maybe they thought better of it. Not going to call them out. And
they
then
listened
we,
to the podcast.
And then we had another that gave a direct answer, no.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
Wait, not going to, that was not going to talk at Hall of Presidents?
Well,
I think they didn't understand the concept. Also, let's be honest, if someone's reaching out to you and saying,
yeah,
this is a Disney travel podcast, come on and talk about an attraction at Disney. That sounds like you're getting set up by another campaign.
Yeah. So most of them did not respond. Three of them did, or four of them did. No, three.
One was
a firm yes, and two said yes and then declined. So that's just really interesting. Maybe they'll come back around. Maybe during the general we can get, the main two candidates. Who knows? You never know. The door's always open to anyone that wants to come on and talk Hall of Presidents. Especially if you're a presidential nominee. But yeah, I think that would just be hilarious. And I'm not going to say there's not a little bit of me that's like kind of has a messed up mind and going, oh, that would just be great. That would just be so bizarre. But it's mind boggling, but it's fun. That's a good question, Christopher. I have to say, I'm no politics about it. I think it'd be hilarious if we had a Donald Trump animatronic permanently on display in the Magic Kingdom. Hey, Lynn, this is just a question about the Hall of Presidents because you would probably know. Maybe you don't know off the top of your head. What is the process like? Because it is an attraction. Look, I actually love the Hall of Presidents a lot. You may have heard our intro and thought maybe that's a little reference to the Hall of Presidents. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But I love the Hall of Presidents mainly because there's no lines, always air conditioned. I think it's a beautiful story. I love the video package they've done that. It's one of my favorites. What is the downtime like typically between when a new president is elected to when that thing is up and running? And is it they shut down the day of inauguration, or how does that work typically?
It's typically a couple of months. The last time that they did it with Barack Obama, I believe is when they switched over to the Morgan Freeman narration as well. So that was a little bit longer because you could still see some of the old elements of the visual elements of the show, but they've incorporated the new script in it. So my sense is that once every 8 years or so is probably enough time for them to revamp the show a little bit. So yeah.
So maybe we'll see a 6 months ish down probably
a couple of months.
Couple months. Yeah, I can remember the sign. Welcome, George W. Bush. I remember that because I was living there. It was like a giant sign.
All right. Last question is from Matt from Franklin. He wants to know how far in advance is best to book a Disney cruise. So once again, I have to step back because I have no knowledge or insight into the Disney cruise. And Terry and Lynn, take it away.
First of all, we need to get Matt on the Disney cruise.
Not Matt.
First of all, we need to get Will on a Disney cruise.
Or Matt.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Will, you need to go on one. I mean, if you haven't.
Definitely, that will be under the research category for the show. So I can see myself on the high seas sooner rather than later. But no, I have yet to experience one.
The thing I would say is don't do a 3 or 4 day cruise. Three day, definitely not. You're unpacking one night, then you're packing up the last night. You've really only got one day to enjoy the ship. So 5 day, like my perfect itinerary in the dream is the 5 night double dip at Castaway Key. Yes. I think that's a great, but my all time favorite itinerary is 7 night Eastern on the Fantasy. Slightly different, interesting islands, and the Fantasy is my favorite ship. But so we actually looked at this question, this pricing question, in the latest edition of the DCL book that we write, the 2016 edition. And there are two things about the pricing. One, everyone says if you're going to book a cabin, book as early as possible, like literally the day that Disney announces a cruise is available, 18 months from now. If you want the least expensive cabin, you should book it that day because prices generally are going to go up. Okay, so if you want, like, if you're looking at like a lower deck, like a category 10, 11, something like that, you're just looking for the least expensive cabin. Book as soon as possible. Don't wait. But here's the interesting trend that we found. If you're looking for the most expensive cabin in the category, let's say you want like a category 4, which is sort of an upper deck family stateroom with veranda, those actually get cheaper the closest you get to a cruise.
Is that just because they're not expecting them to sell, you think, if it's
they're one of the last exactly, yeah. They're one of the last categories to sell. So Disney knows that, you know, it's a perishable commodity like an airline seat or anything else. You know, if the ship leaves and no one's in the cabin, it's lost revenue. So what we've noticed is, especially within 60 or 90 days of the cruise, the prices come down considerably. So we actually have this thing called a fare tracker on the site where we look at the price of every Disney stateroom on every ship for every cruise every day in the future.
Oh, wow.
And we'll track it for you. So if you're, let's say you're looking at a, you know, I'm just making this up, but a 7-night cruise in July of this year, we'll show you what the price trend is for this particular cruise, but we'll show you what the price trend was for the exact same cruise last year. And you can see how the two are corresponding, how the two price trends correspond. So if it looks like it's going up and it went up a lot last year, you know, you'll know to book now. And if it looks like it went down last year, you know, you might be able to hold off and save some money by booking late.
Yeah, I think, you know, my experience has always been book a Disney cruise when you're ready to go. You know, there's always great deals out there if you're trying to sail in the off season.
Mm. You know, oh, it's true. Out of Galveston, yeah, Galveston, dirt cheap stuff, man.
Yeah, out of Miami, we cruised out Miami of Miami too, last yeah. year very affordably, and I think we might have hit the 30-day window. You know, it's. You know, it seems like the average, what do you think, is probably 6 to 9 months. Seems like a lot of people tend to book that far in advance, maybe even further than that.
I'll bet it's more than that, yeah. So typically, I think the minimum is going to be 6 months. People in January will book their summer vacation. But even then, for cruises, I would not be surprised if people book 18 months in advance.
I think it really just depends, too, on when you're going. If you're going peak season, you know, it's probably wiser to book because those are always going to fill up, you know. There's a certain group of cruises that Disney knows they can charge whatever they want, and they're going yeah. to fill them up. You know, spring break, the Christmas cruises, the Thanksgiving cruises,
yep.
the New Year's Eve, the hot itineraries when they yeah. are just trying a new itinerary. But yeah,
we did this concierge cruise on the Dream last year, so it was the first week of December, and we had booked the cruise more than a year in advance again by looking at the fare trends, and generally the first couple of weeks of December are the least expensive times to cruise because everyone is going to be off for Christmas. Everyone has just come off a vacation for Thanksgiving. So all the kids are in school. So this last time we did concierge, it ended up being about $500 a day per person to be in concierge.
Oh, wow. So,
which $2,000 for a 4-night cruise per person. That's $2,000 is a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. It's almost a full night at the Polynesian bungalow. Right,
so almost.
It's like 15 hours. But the same cruise over New Year's Eve was $10,000 a person, five times the cost.
Yeah. Well, and especially I've heard you and Logan both talk about how great that concierge level is.
Oh, it's incredible.
That does sound like a steal for what you get.
Yeah, for that, I didn't feel bad about that. And again, $4,000 for two people is a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. That's more than my first car. But for the experience versus what a regular cruise would have cost, I never look back on that. It's like, you know, on the staying at the Polynesian bungalow, I'm on the fence as to whether that was actually a good deal or not. The cruise, I have no doubt I would totally do that again. In fact, I would do that, you know, tomorrow if you guys told me we're going on a cruise for the show. You know, so.
Hint, hint.
hint, Logan.
All right. Thank you, Lynn.
That will do it for Listener Questions with Lynn, Volume 2, another one coming soon.
Dos las puertas.
Thank you so much for listening. Again, this show has been brought to you by our friends at Often Everland Travel, our favorite travel agent and yours. Great people. They're going to help you plan your perfect vacation. Go to Neverland.com to find out more information. And, of course, our buddy Lynn Testa. We got to help him out, support him, what he's doing. And that is touringplans.com. He has that promo code right now, PODPEOPLE, PODPEOPLE, 2016. You get 15% off. That expires at the end of April. Go sign up for Touring Plans. You've heard about it on here for years, and I'll let you know. I mean, you're not going to regret it. I've been a member, like I said, for probably close to a decade now. I don't even know when they opened. It may have been 3 years. It may be 8 years. I don't know. I've been a member for years, right, Will?
That's right.
Yeah. So now you don't have to send an email. It's just like, hey, you know, we know those secret emails. They're just like, between the time of March 26th and March 29th of 2017, what do you think the crowds are going to be like? It's like, no, you know what? Go sign up for
do
touring
it yourself.
Plans.
Don't make them.
Don't make them give it away for free. Touringplans.com. And that'll do it. Thanks again to Off Kilter, offkilter.net. We will talk to you
on Monday.
On Wednesday.
Wednesday. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Wednesday. All right. Let's see you next time. I'm a little bit restless. Lock to the door. I don't hesitate. It's all right, Lord.